is set to launch just after midnight tonight. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and on today's broadcast, we're going to be talking about one of the most preeminent theologians, pastors, theologians in the great American experience, or the great American on American soil. Let me put it that way. Let me read to you just a little statement that appears on the back of one of the books that we're going to be talking about today. It says this: few others in history have wedded theology and practice like Edwards, speaking of Jonathan Edwards. Unmatched in intellect, unparalleled in his grasp of the Bible, in his conceptualization of theology, Edwards stands as a preeminent theologian and perhaps the preeminent thinker of the American tradition. Thus, it is the purpose of the Essential Edwards Collection to bring the thought of Edwards in all of its heat and light to the people of God. To what end? That we might drink deeply from the Scriptures as illuminated by America's consummate pastor-theologian, and in doing so, bring great glory to God. Well, that's certainly a noble challenge that's put forth here, or a noble goal that is expressed here on the back of this book. The book that I read from is the book, the part of the Essential Edwards Collection, and that particular one is on the good life. There's five in this collection, five different books that are all part of this Essential Edwards Collection. The first one that I have in my hand is The Good Life. The second one is on heaven and hell. The third one on true Christianity. The fourth on the being a lover of God. And then the fifth is on beauty. And so five different books in this collection, and we're going to talk about all five of them on today's broadcast. Help me to do that is one of the co-authors of the book. Owen Strahan is my special guest on the program today. And Owen is a PhD student in historical theology at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. And he's also the managing director of the Carl F.H. Henry Center for Theological Understanding. With that, Owen, it's a pleasure to have you on the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
Thank you so much, Kevin. It's great to be here.
Owen, we're going to try the impossible. We're going to try to get you to give us a summary of each one of these five books. I couldn't just pick out one of them because all of them show a unique side and a unique facet of the wonderful ministry of Jonathan Edwards. So I thought if we could, we would start off with The Good Life and to get you as the co-author to just tell our listening audience what they would find in each one of these books as we go through. Now, we're about 5 minutes outside of the first break, but let me go ahead and just let you comment a little bit on the Good Life, this one book that's in this series.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate the question. Fundamentally, today, we have a vision offered to us by the culture of what the good life is, what true happiness means, and it often involves meeting our own selfish desires, getting what we want, accruing fame, money, possessions, goods, all sorts of things like that, houses, all the dreams that we see cultivated in entertainment culture and media culture. Well, what we try to say in this volume, Doug Sweeney and I, is that the good life is not fundamentally a life of selfish gain, or however one would break that up, but it is the life that is devoted to God. It is the life that seeks to give God glory through the fullness of one's existence. And so in order to experience this good life, we don't sort of just say, I want to follow God and taste his happiness and goodness, and therefore I'm covered. Mm-hmm. We need to know God by being truly converted, by following the design for godly living laid out in His Word. And when we do so, we will experience true joy. In other words, as opposed to what the world says, which is that being liberated from any constraint brings happiness, we try to argue that following the will of God as laid out in Holy Scripture is what brings true happiness. When we obey God, we experience His delight, we experience His joy, our lives come into order. It's not to say that life is always easy, but all of these things make sense, and God richly blesses us in so many different ways, and thus we experience a life that is so much better than anything this world offers. We experience life lived in the power of the Spirit and for the glory of the crucified Son.
Amen. The Scripture says, happy are the people whose God is the Lord, and you point that out in Edward's writings as you go through this particular book, that Edward wasn't this this prude that people think that he was, that you see a photograph of him or a painting of him, I should say. In the painting of him, you know, it's this very stern-looking caricature that, you know, he was afraid somebody was having fun somewhere in America and was trying to stamp that out, you know, that old caricature of the Puritan writers. But that wasn't true of Edwards at all, right? He's a lover of joy. He's a lover of God, and therefore he's a truly happy man. Or as the person who writes the intro for your five books here, John Piper put it, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him.
That's exactly right. Jonathan Edwards was a man who would have proved inscrutable to many of us because he may not have seemed very happy on the outside, but on the inside, he was deeply satisfied in a way that few of us, honestly, Kevin, experience. He knew the verse from Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, this is the really powerful stuff, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Edwards knew that the pleasures of God experienced when we die to ourselves and we live to Christ outweigh anything in this world and give us a happiness that pervades even the most difficult trial, you know, losing a child, becoming deeply ill, having conflict in one's life and one's church, that sort of thing, these deep sufferings that we go through in this world because of sin. Jonathan Edwards knew that the pleasures of God, given by a great God, a very generous God, transcended anything this world could offer us.
Amen. I know that John Piper only wrote the intro for this book, for this series, but nevertheless, he's brought out a number of interesting points, and of course is a student of Jonathan Edwards as well. But he mentioned the idea, or this, I'm not even sure if he coined this phrase per se, but he certainly used it. He spoke of the idea of Christian hedonism. Hedonism, of course, being a seeker of pleasure. And I think he took some flack for that when he first came out with it. People say, well, wait a second, the Christian is not supposed to be seeking after pleasure. Well, he is, if that pleasure is to be found in God Himself. Not mm-hmm. pleasure for pleasure's sake, not pleasure in worldly things per se, but pleasure in finding our deepest joy and our deepest satisfaction in God Himself. And when we look at it that way, then we see that the Scriptures back up that type of thinking.
Absolutely. That's John Piper's arresting phrase. We don't necessarily use it in the collection, but we have benefited ourselves, Doug Sweeney and I have benefited ourselves deeply from Piper's vision of Edwards and of the God Edwards worshipped. And we try to say in this series, look, Jonathan Edwards was a pleasure seeker above all others. I mean, he loved pleasure. He just didn't love it in the terms that the world uses to define it. He loved to experience the pleasures of God, and he knew that living a life in conformity to God's will was the best way to experience pleasure, because it's pleasure of a different kind than the world offers. It's a lasting, pervasive, transcendent pleasure, which gives joy that lasts in any season. And that's the kind of pleasure I want to pursue. That's the kind of pleasure that Jonathan Edwards knew in his life. He knew the joys of this world as well, and we bring that out, or try to, in the series. But he was a deeply satisfied man, and we will be too, deeply satisfied people, if we will pursue the Lord passionately and devotedly.
Amen. The word happy falls far short of explaining what the scripture uses for the word blessed. But nevertheless, if you want to be truly happy, I'm saying this to the listening audience now, if you want to be truly happy, if you really want to find true satisfaction in this life, you must find it in God himself. God made you, and so he made you in a way that you could only be truly happy if you look to him and listen to him in his word, if you love him and follow after him hard, as we see with the psalmist, as we see with Edwards, as we see with all the true Christians that are upon the face of the earth. We're going to come back in just a moment, talk about some of these other books that are in this series. This one, by the way, a couple of the chapters in here, the nearness of the good life, the distance of the good life, taste of the good life, the pleasures of the good life, and the shape of the good life. This is an excellent, excellent volume for you to study to figure out how to find the good life in the here and now. When we come back from the break, we'll look at the subject of heaven and hell as Jonathan Edwards described it. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We'll go through this book. Be right back.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
How do we understand our time as the final age of history? Paul describes the fulfillment of history as our blessed hope, made real to us through our faith. These Last Days, a Christian View of History, is the theme for the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. Speakers include Alistair Begg, D.A. Carson, and others. For more information and to register, visit alliancenet.org or call 1-800-488-1888. That's 1-800-488-1888.
Wall Street went into a freefall.
It's the biggest one-day drop ever.
We live in times of financial insecurity.
The financial crisis, meanwhile, continued to spread.
But no matter what you're facing, you don't have to face it alone. We're a radio station made of real people with real-life struggles just like you. We're here because we've found security in tough times. We offer teaching and talk to point people toward eternal strength found only in God. And it's your support of our ministries that gives people this good news in insecure times. Thanks for telling your friends about Christian Talk 660.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
In a world of almost constant medical and scientific advances, everyone will likely face a difficult ethical decision at some point. Crossway has published a new book by Dr. David Van Drunen called Bioethics and the Christian Life, a guide to making difficult decisions. It's a book that puts bioethical dilemmas in the context of a broader, godly perspective. It addresses specific controversial issues like contraception, assisted reproduction, and euthanasia, and Christians will find it to be helpful and theologically sound.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. I want to give you the information about how you can participate in our discussion today. And by the way, our discussion is about Jonathan Edwards, and specifically, our discussion is about the Essential Edwards Collection. It's a five-volume series that is written by our guest on the phone today, Owen Strahan, along with Doug Sweeney, and it's published by Moody Publishers. I'm going to go ahead and give away one of these five-book series today. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to break it up so that we have five winners today. Five people will be eligible. I'll go ahead and send you one of these books. All you need to do is participate in the program today about Jonathan Edwards, and we'll break this series up. So I'll give you one of the five in the series. We'll send it directly to your home. Let me give you the way that you can participate. in the program today. The easiest way is via the phone line. It's a toll-free number. It's good here locally in the upstate of South Carolina and actually around the country. It's absolutely toll-free. It's 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. I also have my email up and running. The email is Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, at knowingthetruth.org. That's Kevin at knowingthetruth, all one word, .org. And Twitter is up and running as well, and the account on Twitter is Knowing the Truth. So just contact us. I'll be happy to work you into the conversation with your question or your comment, and then I'll go ahead and put one of these books in your hands. We'll mail it out to you, and you get it right in your mailbox. Let's go back to our conversation. We did well on the first one here, Owen, going through that. I think we gave people a good sense of what is in this book. And the first one that I pulled out, I don't even know if I'm going in the actual order that you have designed the series to go. It just happened to be the order that I had looked through the books here in my pile. But the second one in the list deals with Jonathan Edwards on Heaven and Hell. And this talks about the idea, the first chapter here is a great title to it, The Disappearance of the Afterlife. Talk to us a little bit, Owen, about the way that the afterlife has slipped out of our conversation in America today. And then, you know, what Edwards had to say about the afterlife, specifically the prospect of hell and the prospect of heaven.
Well, basically, people today are very this worldly. We're tempted by the speed of life in this modern age. We're tempted by technology. We're tempted by media and entertainment culture, by prosperity in this country. Of course, recently we've had some setbacks, but in general, we're tempted by these things to set our sights on this world and to really live a this worldly life. And furthermore, we've grown accustomed in this day and age to choosing what we want to believe in. So we emphasize the autonomy of the self that we lose sight of absolute and objective realities, including the afterlife. And so many people today approach the subject of the afterlife, let alone heaven and hell, as a matter of choice, as an intellectual, theological option. Do I want to believe in heaven? Do I want to believe in hell? Typically, no. If so, what do I want heaven to look like? What does hell look like? Maybe heaven is a place where, you know, I go and I kind of hang out with my friends and I'm reunited with family and pets and it's just kind of lots of fun. And maybe hell is a place, if people believe in it, where one is separated from different things and it all ends very quickly. That's the kind of mindset that a lot of people have today, we've seen through our research. And it's also, frankly, the mindset that a lot of Christians have, not always intentionally trying to silence the scriptures on the matter of the afterlife, but just in general by drinking in the cultural air. We have this approach to the afterlife in which we choose what we want to believe in, and that's very problematic, and it's not biblical, and it's certainly not Edwardsian.
You point out in this book that a lot of Christians will use those diagnostic questions in evangelism. In other words, approaching somebody, I think it came out of EE, Evangelism Explosion, D. James Kennedy's creation there at Coral Ridge. But asking people, you know, if you were to die today, do you think that you would go to heaven? And you point out in the book that many people today would say, well, I don't believe in heaven or hell. And so you immediately are faced with a problem because of, as you just articulated, this is where our culture is today. Nobody believes in these things anymore. So we've got a lot of work to do. Do you agree?
That's exactly right. And you can point to some different historical realities that have helped to shape this situation. So you go back to things like the Enlightenment in Europe in the 17th and 18th centuries, which popularized unbelief. Philosophers were questioning the authority and trustworthiness of the Bible. You go to things like the Industrial Revolution, which transformed everyday life for people and made it drudgery and very crowded and busy. You go to the world wars of the 20th century, World War I and World War II, which frankly collapsed the faith of many people or whatever faith was held in spiritual things. You can further trace this according to postmodernism in the last 40 years, this belief that there is no absolute reality outside of the reality that the community chooses. So there are some definite factors that lead into our not having a strong view of the afterlife today, and this is very widespread even among Christians, professing Christians.
We seem to build in whatever our particular desire is. We seem to build that into the caricature that we create about God himself. Somebody once said it this way. They said that God made man in his own image, and ever since man has been trying to return the favor. So the God that they create, apart from the Bible, is a God that, you know, doesn't really punish anybody, that he's, you're okay and I'm okay. And if you just try your hardest, that's all that God really desires of you. But that is not the message of the Bible. That is not what the Scripture has to say to us. We need to know that we are rushing, all of us, at breakneck speed towards eternity, and we will all be, all the people in the sound of my voice here today, we will all be in eternity in just a matter of days, if you think about it consideration of how long eternity in just a few moments time we will all be in eternity. Now that's should be a sobering thought for people. We have a ministry on Sunday night. We go to the Shepherd's Care Assisted Living Facilities nursing home right here in the area, and one of the reasons that we enjoy going, we just try to reach out and comfort the people that are there and bring the gospel to them in the final days of their life. In fact, John Piper's dad was there in our services for a number of years. It was just a pleasure to get to meet him. He's passed away now and gone home to be with the Lord. But one of the things that we think about when we go is that the verse that we find in Ecclesiastes, I believe it's in Ecclesiastes 7, it says it is more profitable for you to go to a funeral than to a party. I'm paraphrasing. But the idea being that the brevity of life and the certainty of death is placed before us every single week when we go. Inevitably, we go, and then they tell us that this person or that person who had been in our little congregation there is no longer with us, that they fell, and then were taken to the hospital, and then they went home to be with the Lord if they were a believer or had passed away. And one of that ministry just keeps ever before us the sense of just that this life is so brief and so short that we are racing towards eternity. Edwards had a unique ability to bring that forth with his congregation. Don't you think that was unique in him?
Yes, absolutely. He preached the afterlife constantly in his ministry to his church. He was constantly reminding people that heaven and hell were fast approaching, and especially hell, for those outside of the grace of the Lord. He sought to awaken his people to these realities and to faith in Christ. He knew, furthermore, that though the doctrine of hell is foreboding and even scary, many of us boggle to try to understand it, Edwards knew that it was also deeply evangelistically potent. And so in the wise providence of the Lord, preaching the reality of hell as a scriptural truth would help to focus people's mind on the need for repentance. So in other words, many of us today shy away from preaching on hell because we think it's not palatable. People won't respond to it. Well, it's certainly true that some people won't respond to it, but it is one of the means throughout history that God has used to win many, many people to himself, this reality that we are facing judgment. We will soon face judgment. We have no knowledge of how long our lives are. And so in sermons like Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, Jonathan Edwards pictured the condition of humanity as deeply perilous, hanging over hell by a spider's thread, God having an arrow bearing down on us in a bow and being ready to cast it at us at any moment. Those are some of the images Jonathan Edwards used to depict the scriptural reality of hell, and honestly, some of the most evangelistic fruit that Jonathan Edwards ever saw was from preaching the reality of hell, and it's not by accident.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I was looking at the final chapter in this book, or chapter four anyways, in this little volume, and it says the transforming power of an eternity-focused mindset, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. I think of the words of Richard Baxter that I preached as if I'll never preach again as a dying man to dying men. We must have this sense of urgency in our preaching as we expound the Word of God, knowing that men and women, as you were just articulating, we don't know, you know, how long God is going to put breath in our lungs, or how long He's going to enable our heart to beat. We could go out of this life and into eternity at a moment's notice, and we need to be ready for that. That's certainly important. Let's run to the phone lines very quickly. We got John from Greenville right here on line one. John, welcome into the program today.
How's it going today? I'm enjoying you guys' discussion. I have to confess that I'm one of those people that has read many books of authors like Piper and others who quote Edwards, but I've never actually read any of Edwards' work except for some of his more famous sermons, like, you know, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God and that kind of thing. Mm. You know, what you guys are talking about of taking the message of judgment out of a gospel presentation,
mm-hmm.
Is I think very key, but also taking out a full teaching of the law.
Mm.
In other words, just telling everybody that everybody has sinned. Right now, to the postmodern view, goes, yeah, well, duh, everybody makes mistakes. So what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where really guys like Edwards, and I'm thinking of Ray Comfort right now,
mm-hmm.
who are pretty much saying, guys, you've got to use the law for its intended purpose to uncover and expose sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that, you know, there's no magic in the biblical text. You know, some people almost use it that way. But I do think just adhering to the text of the law and letting the Holy Spirit apply the law to a person's heart to expose sin, and then hitting on that idea of, guess what? You know, to every person is appointed a time to die and then judgment.
That's right. Let me comment just a second, John, on what you said. First thing I want to tell you is good news for you, because I'm going to go ahead and send you a copy of one of these books. And part of the purpose in them creating this series about Jonathan Edwards is just exactly what you just said, a person to be introduced to Edwards, to be introduced to Edwards' writing. So that's part of the purpose that Owen and Doug produced these volumes for. So I'll go ahead and you send me an email, kevin@knowingthetruth.org, and I'll send you one of these books.
Okay,
secondly, let me just mention something about the law there that you mentioned, and just a way to keep this in mind as we think about the law. Three different points about the law. First of all, the law shows us the standard, the only standard, the inflexible standard that God has placed upon someone. If you desire to go to heaven, if you want to spend eternity with God, this is the standard. You must keep the law perfectly. Secondly,
right, yeah.
Secondly, the law shows us that we cannot keep it perfectly. We have partial obedience and imperfect obedience, so immediately it drives us away from ourselves and finding any security or hope in ourselves. And third, the law drives us specifically to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the only one who kept the law perfectly, and it is His imputed, earned righteousness that is then given to the believer. So just keep those three points. It would help, I think, when you were witnessing, to just keep that little outline about the law in mind.
Actually, within the last couple of weeks, I work with some international ministry at Clemson University.
Uh-huh.
I'm a faculty member there. And sitting down with a grad student from another country, several kinds of the countries, who've never heard the gospel, and then we spend a little time on the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is provided as an exposition of the law,
mm-hmm.
and their countenance changes. And I'll ask them questions like, I said, you know, we will go back and look at the Ten Commandments. It goes, you know, I'll ask them questions like, how do you see anybody covet? And they'll think a minute. They go, you can't see it. I said, right. You know, Jesus was talking about heart issues here. It was always there. And And these guys get it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also point to the fact in that very same sermon, he tells us we must have a righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisee. This is a half a justification that we miss in many of our churches.
Exactly.
Because the person should be realizing that, okay, now I'm put in two predicaments. I am, number one, convinced of my sin. Number two, I must be righteous. I have nothing. And then we make a beeline to the doctrine of basically a dual imputation.
Exactly.
And the average young person, and I'm going to pick on Southern Baptists because I am one, doesn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Many church members, we teach one side of justification, the doctrine of justification in many of our churches.
John. Well, John,
I appreciate your comments, and I will fire off an email.
Good. Fire me that email. We'll get the book right out to you. And thank you very much. Your comments were very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's, Owen, that makes a very good segment out of the section on heaven and hell, or the volume that deals with that, into the section or the volume in the Essential Edwards collection that deals with true Christianity. Now, in this particular section, which is kind of the book of James, I think, of the collection here, it speaks about, first and foremost, the problem of nominal Christianity and the problem that Edwards had in his day and what the answer was to that nominal Christianity that we see taking place not only in Edwards' day, but the same answer is good for our day as well. Please expound for a moment on what our listeners would find in the volume dealing with true Christianity.
Thank you. I appreciate it. In this volume, we first try to give a survey of the landscape of evangelical Christianity today. And we take a special look at nominal Christianity, which is Christianity in name only. So we look at some different indicators that show that people are not living robust Christian lives. For example, in one survey, Rodney Stark, a prominent researcher, found that among evangelical megachurches, about 46% of the people who attend come to services weekly or more often. That's all. Only 46% of all attendees tithe, and only 33% read the Bible daily. That's just one small indicator we cite in the first chapter to show that there's a major problem. Just as Jonathan Edwards dealt with nominal Christianity, in his day everybody had to go to church, you had to pay taxes to support the minister of the town, so it wasn't a choice-based atmosphere like ours. Just as he had a major problem with nominal Christianity, with people maybe who showed up to church and, you know, did some of the stuff, but weren't really engaged and didn't really seem to treasure Christ, so we have the same problem today. It shows up in a different form, and the church landscape has changed, but among many churches of varying sizes and backgrounds, denominations, people are not living a robust Christian life. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons for that, we say in this volume, is that we're not emphasizing true Christianity in our preaching and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need to reclaim today is a vision of true conversion, of saving conversion, of what Edwards called the new birth. We need to preach the new birth to people. We need to not simply tell people how to live better lives and some tips on, you know, managing stress and that sort of thing. Those things can be well and good, but fundamentally we need to hold out to all people who come to our churches that they desperately need the grace of God. And that really couples the preaching on hell and also, as was mentioned just a moment ago, the preaching of God's law and of the reality of sin. When we preach those things and we preach the joys of heaven and we preach the necessity of the new birth, we will see this problem of nominal Christianity attacked just as it was in Edwards' day, and we will see many people, Lord willing, live a vibrant Christian life.
Amen. We say at church very often that our theology fuels our doxology, that you can't properly worship God unless we understand about God in His Word and what He requires of us. Unfortunately, today, as you mentioned, so much of the sermonizing is all of how-to types of things. I had one person on the program, they had written an article called Seven Steps to Nowhere. You know, just just these following steps to trying to tell people how they can have a happy life, but it was devoid of any sort of doctrinal truth at all. And so many churches and people today feel that doctrine is dead, that it divides, that it, you know, it's dreary, we don't want to put the people through that. But in doing that, they are removing this vital connection between that joyous and victorious Christianity that you were just describing to us, and that Edwards lays out in his Idea of True Christianity, the volume that you wrote here as well. Let me go on to the book about being lovers of God. Describe to our listeners what you try to capture in Edwards' teaching about being a lover of God.
Yeah, thanks for the question. This is a book that is basically a little biography of Jonathan Edwards and his life and ministry. And so in this book, we try to show that Jonathan Edwards fundamentally was a passionate devotee of Jesus Christ. And so we trace his life history, his ministry. We look into some of his major writings. This would be a really good book to start with if you don't have much familiarity with Jonathan Edwards. We've written the Essential Edwards Collection not because people are not intelligent and don't know of Jonathan Edwards, but because, frankly, it takes a lot of time to comb through his writings and to get into his life story for a lot of people. We just don't have that much time. Mm-hmm. So all of these volumes are designed to make him accessible and easily understood. And this is the volume you would go to understand what he did in his life. Throughout this volume, we show that Jonathan Edwards was a man just like us. He had clay feet. He was a sinner. He was just a human being. He wasn't this sort of deified human being who walked an inch off the ground and shot lightning bolts out of his eyes. He was a sinner, but he was fundamentally a sinner who loved Jesus Christ and who had a dogged pursuit of the Lord. So he formulated things like resolutions to help him live a holy life. He frequently wrote about his desire to know the Lord better. He took long walks to pray and meditate on the Scriptures. He catechized his children in the faith daily and talked with them endearingly of the need to worship the Lord. He was a man who lived this robust, full-orb life. He was a man who spent a lot of time studying and working so that he could know the Lord better and help others to know the Lord better. Fundamentally, he was a lover of God, and if we would follow his example, not in necessarily every way, we won't all have the same time to devote to scriptural study as he did, but if we would generally learn from his example and try to live passionately for the Lord, we too would taste the joy of being a lover of God in a much more pronounced way than many of us do.
A lot of people don't may not remember or may not have even ever heard about the resolutions of Jonathan Edwards that he made. I forget, was he 17 years old or something around that age,
mm-hmm.
where he had listed out 70 different resolutions about his life. Here's just one of them, just starting at the top of them so that our listeners could get a sense of what this young man was like and what he was attempting to do in his life, looking over his life. He says, resolved that I will do whatever I think it to be the most to God's glory and my own good, profit, and pleasure in the whole of my duration, without any consideration of the time, whether now or never so many myriad of ages hence, resolved to do what I think to be my duty and most for the good and advantage of mankind in general, resolved to do this, whatsoever difficulties I may meet with, how many and how great. Great, severe. And so here he is, he's, you know, 17 years old, and that's just the first one. And he continues on there to resolve to read the Word of God, to understand the Word of God, apply it to his life, to resolve to love God, which is much as is within him to be able to do that. And so it's a tremendous example for us to follow as we just see what Edwards was involved in. As you say, again, not perfect. I've been doing a study the last few weeks in our Wednesday night Bible study about some of the covenants. We looked at the covenant with Noah and then with Abraham this past week. And in both cases, I made the case that obviously they were not perfect people by any stretch of the imagination, lost sinners before they were called by grace to the wonderful mercy and grace of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But in either case, then even after they were saved, they were not perfect people. They made sinned and made many mistakes, and so we need to get that out of our mind right from the very beginning. These things are written for us that have been brought to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they deal with very real problems that we face on a daily basis. We're going to go ahead and take our final commercial break, and when we come back from the break, then we'll go ahead and talk about this last volume, the volume on beauty and what Jonathan Edwards had to say about beauty. You're welcome to join the conversation, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. You can also send an email, and you can send that email to kevin@knowingthetruth.org. That's K-E-V-I-N at knowingthetruth, all one word, .org. Be happy to take your question or your comment and work it into the conversation. Be right back.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Since 1993, Auger Family Chiropractic has helped thousands of people just like you. Dr. Auger's office has helped them to discover a better way to experience health and healing. For over a century, chiropractic doctors have known that by God's design, the body possesses the ability to heal itself naturally. To learn how chiropractic adjustments enable the body to perform to its optimum and heal itself without the use of drugs or surgery, listen to Your Half Hour to Health with Dr. George Auger, Wednesday afternoons at 12:30 on Christian Talk 660.
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
A bright future starts with a healthy lifestyle.
Pinocchio!
And the food pyramid will help you find the right balance of everything you and your child need. Grains, vegetables, fruits, oils, milk, and meats and beans.
Nothing can stop me now.
Just eat right, be active, and make it balance.
Attaboy, Pinocchio.
Visit mypyramid.gov to learn more. That's mypyramid.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the last segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today. And we've been talking with Owen Strahan about the book that he co-authored along with Doug Sweeney. Actually, the series, I should say, that he co-authored. It's called The Essential Edwards Collection. Five books in this collection, all about a certain aspect of the teaching of Jonathan Edwards and the ministry of Jonathan Edwards. We've talked through four of them so far. I am giving away copies today. John has already got his copy. Be happy to give out the final four that I have here today. Final four, that sounds like a basketball thing, doesn't it? But the final four things that I have going that we're going to give away today, you've got about less than 10 minutes if you want to call or contact me in order to get a copy of this book today. I mentioned a couple ways you can do it. The phone line, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Also via email, kevin@knowingthetruth.org. Also, just want to leave you with a couple of quick announcements before we go back to our discussion on this final book. One, you heard the Stevie B's ad run during the program. Stevie B's right here in the upstate of South Carolina, over there on Woodruff Road. We're going to go ahead and give away pizza on this Saturday. So we're doing this to just help out families here in the area, families that are loyal listeners to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're going to buy your children, 10 years old and under, a free buffet pizza or pizza buffet there at Stevie B. So they have 70 different types of pizza there. So plus dessert pizza and their salad. I don't know who eats a salad, but there's salad and there's also some pasta there as part of the pizza buffet. And if you go there this Saturday, all day Saturday, and you just mention the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast, then your children 10 years old and under will be absolutely free, and they'll get a free pizza buffet. Just our way of saying thank you for listening to the program. Also, I wanted to make mention of a couple of things on the website. First of all, next week on the program, Anthony Saveggio will be with me again. We'll be talking about his book dealing with the Gospel of John. And then I wanted to mention that out on the knowingthetruth.org website, welcome to a Reformed Church. The link is out there for this book. I interviewed Danny Hyde the other day on the program, and we talked through the elements of this book. Well, I want to let you know that you still can get this book at the reduced price of $7.50, and all you need to do is click on that logo that's in the right-hand column on my website, Knowing the Truth. It'll take you out to Reformation Heritage Books, and you'll see there that the price of that book is only $7.50. So you can't beat it. The publisher is Reformation Trust. That's the publishing wing of Ligonier Ministries, and it's available out on Reformation Heritage Books website, $7.50. One more announcement. I want to make sure that you know that the PCRT conference is coming here to Greenville. I've been advertising for them for quite a while now, but I want you to know that you know it's down to the last couple days for you to be able to take advantage of this great conference. This conference is coming here because Rick Phillips is the pastor there at Second Pres in downtown Greenville. And now on April 16th through the 18th, they will be holding the PCRT, the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. And they'll be dealing with the issue of these last days, a historical view of the last days of eschatology. And Lig Duncan will be here, Joel Beakey, Michael Horton from the White Horse Inn, and Cornell Venema, along with Rick Phillips, will all be speaking at that event. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be fantastic. And so I just want to make sure you're aware of that. Let's go back to our discussion now with Owen Strahan about the book of Jonathan Edwards that he compiled together, that Owen and Doug Sweeney compiled together, on Edwards speaking about the subject of beauty. This would probably be the least known aspect, I would think, of Jonathan Edwards' work. But Owen, give us a sense of what the readers or listeners would find as they read this particular volume.
This is a volume that traces Edwards's aesthetics and his view of the beauty of the Lord, and how God had spread that beauty, diffused it throughout all the created order. This is a book that will be a little bit unfamiliar, as you've mentioned, to some of the readers. But if you dive into Edwards's material on beauty, you will find some of the richest stuff of the whole corpus of Edwards' writing. Mm. Jonathan Edwards very quickly believed that beauty was contained and personified in God himself. So God himself is the essence of beauty. And God had communicated and placed his beauty in the created order so that people would see little traces of his ultimate beauty and their hearts would be stirred to worship him. And so we try to bring that out and develop that in this volume. As with all the volumes, this is not simply an anthology of Edwards' writing. It's not just edited works of Edwards. We're interacting with these things and explaining them and giving practical application of his material. So in this volume, we'll see that God himself is the starting point of true beauty, that beauty is placed all throughout this world, that it resides in Jesus Christ, that it is displayed in the church as the visible manifestation of God's kingdom on earth, and that in heaven we will reside with beauty itself and participate in this beautiful exchange. This is a great volume to give somebody, I think, who is worldly, who likes beauty and likes the study of beauty, is interested in aesthetics perhaps, but who does not have a God-centered understanding of that. A lot of people today are obsessed with physical beauty. A lot of people today want to travel, you know, that sort of thing, and experience beauty. This would be a good book to give to them, to reach out to them and show them the nature of the beauty. By the way, one last note. You mentioned the Final Four. Mm-hmm. I'm pulling for Butler, the underdog. Sorry about that.
Well, Duke is right here, you know, so close. So it goes without saying, you know, that we got to be pulling for Duke. And they win it so many times, you know.
I know.
It's almost a foregone conclusion. I hate to burst your bubble here at the
at
the end of the program, but it seems like that's what's really going to happen. I was going to say in this final volume here, speaking about beauty, one of the things that I think is extremely relevant, not only is there a low view of God in our society and unfortunately maybe in our churches today as well, but there's also a low view of the church. And this volume covers the beauty of God, the beauty of his creation, the beauty of Christ, and then the beauty of the church. And the final one is on the Trinitarian afterlife. But those two sections about the beauty of God and Christ and his church, let me expand it to three, I think are so needed in our day and age that we live in here, in that we live in today, that people, you know, capture again this indescribable beauty of God and what God has done, the works of God. I think it would be very important for people to read this volume. Who is the intended audience, Owen? You know, who were you hoping that would pick up these volumes?
That's well asked. I would say, because it's not exactly clear necessarily when you're promoting Jonathan Edwards to the masses, we want Jonathan Edwards to be placed in front of thinking Christians who basically have not had much time or energy to get into the Edwardsian corpus. There are 25 published volumes of the Yale works of Edwards, and maybe lots of people have interest in Jonathan Edwards and would like to get into his material, but there's not a really good starting place. Do you just pick up one of those, you know, 500-page volumes that cost $100 each and, you know, sort of wade through? Well, maybe you can, but these are books that are trying to boil down the essence of Jonathan Edwards for lay people, for pastors, for seminarians, for people who want to better understand Jonathan Edwards, his life, ministry, and thought, and who want to, furthermore, beyond that, better understand and know and worship his great God. Because Jonathan Edwards pictured God in such majestic and grand terms, and his writing, his sermonizing is just tonic for the Christian soul in this day when, as we've already mentioned, we're pressed on down on every side. We're tempted to be obsessed with this world and ourselves, to think little of our sin, and to have a small view of God. We're trying to say to a broad audience of people who may not have read much of Edwards or who may just need a kind of go-to collection of Edwards for ministry, that Jonathan Edwards offers us large God theology in a small God age.
Amen. Well said, and makes a very good conclusion to our interview today. Owen, I want to thank you for taking the time out to be with us on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. Any plans to go to Together for the Gospel this year?
Hey, I'm really looking forward to it. I'll be there with bells on.
Excellent. I'll be there. I'll be doing some interviews in the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals suite that they have. So I'll be set up doing some live interviews. Make sure you stop by and say hello.
Sounds terrific. Really appreciate your ministry, Kevin.
Okay. Praise the Lord. That was Owen Strahan. He's the co-author of the Jonathan Edwards, or the Essential Edwards Collection, this five-volume series that we've been talking about throughout the program today. Highly recommend it. There's a number of people that have written endorsements for it that you would know, the folks that are writing these endorsements. And as you could hear from our discussion today, just really well done. I think this will really serve the Christian community well, because people will get an understanding of Jonathan Edwards and read some of his own statements, as well as hear what Owen and Doug have mixed in their commentary in writing this book as well. There's endorsements in here from Tabidi, Anya Buile, and Don Carson, and from Mark Dever, and from Colin Hansen, Josh Harris, who was on with me the other day, Michael Horton, that I mentioned, and many others. Excellent, excellent volume. You can go out to Moody Publishers, that website on here, actually, but you can just Google Moody Publishers, and Moody will then, you can see how you can get a copy of this. Go to church this Sunday, of course. This is Resurrection Sunday. If you go out to Greenville News Online, they're asking the question, what does the resurrection mean to you? Give them an answer. We'll see you Sunday.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lisa.